Well, good to see everybody today. How are y'all doing? Y'all alive and well? Yeah, come on, talk to me. Good. Just want to say welcome to Church of the King. You probably know where you are, though, and I'm glad that you're here. If you're a guest here, I just want to say just really thank you for coming today. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor. We're really honored to have you, and we'd love to see you connect to the life of the church. And if you are here and you want to connect to the life of the church, there's really three primary ways that you're able to do that. Here's the first step, honestly, is just take the connection card in the seat back in front of you and fill that out. And when the offering comes by at the end of service, you can put that in the bucket. Or if you'd like, you can bring that to the Connection Center right in the middle of the foyer. If you bring it there, we'll give actually a really cool gift to you. Also, we have an app. If you'd like to download that and fill out the card there, you can as well. That's the one way that you can connect. Here's the best way to connect. Really, the next two, I think, are kind of the best ways to connect. So we have our growth track on Sundays at 11 o'clock. It's actually going on right now in our multi-purpose room just behind you. And that lets you hear the heart of the church. You get to meet the leadership of the church. It's an opportunity for you to become a member if you so desire. And we'd love for you to connect there because it's really kind of like the first touch point. And then here's how you can really connect into the church. And the third thing is small groups. Because the fact of the matter is that life does not happen. The life of any church doesn't happen right here in rows. It happens in circles, in groups, in small groups. And so we're actually, you'll see small groups are kicking off. And in fact, next week, there'll be a big expo where you get to see many of the leaders in the foyer. They'll be set up behind tables. But my heart for you is to connect you with people that can encourage you in your walk with God. In fact, we'll have a variety of small groups and we'll have community groups. You can actually look on the app, and if you go, I'm interested in small groups, download our app. When you open it up, they'll have a little block that says sign up. Click on that and it'll show you all of the groups throughout our community that you can be a part of. And if you go, I'm not so sure about going to somebody's house or I don't know, get into a community group. We have three community groups. Now, they're going to be a little bit larger format when you first get there, and then there may be some breaking up. But we are having community groups in three communities. Here we go. Lake Charles. Everybody say Lake Charles. Right here. We'll meet right here. Then Moss Bluff. Everybody say Moss Bluff. And we're going to be meeting at the Catholic Retreat Center on 378. Y'all know where that is? Come on, any Moss Bluffers in here? Yeah. What, two? Thank you for coming. Making that really long trek, sir. I know it's all of 15 minutes, so. And we'll be meeting at the Catholic Retreat Center there. And then in Sulphur, everybody say Sulphur. Sulphur. Anybody from Sulphur? Oh, come on now. We're going to be meeting at the City Center Park. So get connected in those. If my wife and I, our heart behind it was like, listen, we love people and we love hanging out with people. But if I'm new to a church, I'm probably going to go to a community group first just because it's like less intimidating because you're walking into a community center or to a third space. And I think they're going to be a big hit. I'm excited about that. And also want you guys to recognize, now remember, as a pastor, my goal is not to make you comfortable, it's make you connected, to get you connected to the purpose of God. It never happens outside of people. And last year at this time, we were connected to a huge purpose in helping with the relief efforts for Hurricane Harvey. Does anybody remember that? Well, this year, we are not helping the victims of Hurricane Harvey because we did that actually until a couple months ago as we were even rebuilding homes here in Lake Charles. But we are aware of how much help we received from all over the country. And guess what? One of the states that was the biggest supporters when in 6 weeks we delivered over $5 million worth of goods to both Louisiana and Texas in hurricane relief aid. Guess what one of the biggest states that helped us was? You know, you'll have an idea? Guess. North Carolina. North Carolina. So listen, this year we're returning the favor. So they, we have actually some of the leaders who spearheaded the effort last year with Mike Reed really being the one that saw that finished out. That I don't know where they are. They were supposed to be here this service. They were here last service. Actually, I think they're at the warehouse right now. We have a warehouse on 2201 Hodges Street, and there's really four things that we're collecting right now that you can drop by there. We have people here during business hours as well during the week. That if you can't make it to Hodges, bring it here. We'll make sure that it gets to the people in North Carolina. They need water. They need sports drinks. They need non-perishable food items. They need hygiene items, and they need baby products. Those are the big four for right now. So here's the thing. I will always encourage you to get outside of yourself and serve and build people and give your life to something that's bigger than you. And listen to me carefully. Anytime you give your life to someone else, like you serve someone, you are doing something that's bigger than you. And today, I'm not speaking because I have an amazing couple that's in. They've been within us for the last few days, and I've been to their hometown in Uttoxeter, England. They're amazing. They're pastors in England, but God has used them in an amazing capacity as missionaries, primarily in Kenya, but now all over the world. And then they're in their early 30s. It's pretty awesome. And so it's Pastor Matt and Becky Murray. And before they come up, I just want to give you a little overview of what it is they actually do and what God's doing in them and through them. So why don't we go ahead and show that video about their mission organization One by One.
...2006 would prove to be a year that changed the life of Becky Murray forever. She was a young missionary in Sierra Leone, and she met a girl by the name of Felicity. She bought her some shoes, and Felicity wrongly assumed that the only reason she bought her shoes was in return for sexual favors. That moment scarred Becky's heart forever, and she knew something had to be done. So on December 12, 2012, King's Children's Home in Bumalabi, Kenya, opened its doors for the first time. The children's home cost £150,000 to build, but it was paid off in cash, no debt. It started with only 42 children, but today there's almost 200 of them. One by One school outreach team launched in 2016, and now there are 18 schools reaching approximately 9,000 children per week. The Dignity Project is reaching girls at risk of human trafficking, and it started in 2015. But now, today, it's reaching over 4,500 girls. In the next year, the Dignity Project will expand to Sierra Leone, Pakistan, Swaziland, South Africa, and Cambodia. In 2016, Hope Sri Lanka was launched. More than 150 widows and their children are being fed every single day. In the last 3 years, 226 people have joined One by One on mission trips all over the world. Through your giving, One by One has sent £914,976. That's more than $1.2 million directly sent to the mission field.
Can we give a hand to Pastor Matt and Becky Murray?
Great. Well, it is so good to be in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Hopefully you'll understand our accent, and hopefully you'll appreciate our accent. When Pastor Todd came to England, he made everyone laugh because he would pronounce English words with an English accent, and he assures me next time he comes to England, he's going to preach his entire message in an English accent. So we'll see how that one goes. But, you know, we love to be here. Pastor Todd and Lisa have become such great friends of ours, and Church of the King, Lake Charles, has really been supporting us in what we do, so we're grateful. I'm so glad to partner with a church that cares for the poor and has a heart for the lost and to reach people and build lives. So thank you for being a part of that. It really is an incredible honor. Why don't you start by, you know, we don't really do this often, preach together, so hopefully we won't argue. Hopefully we will get along, so give us a bit of grace here. But why don't you tell them what we've been up to? What's going on?
Well, firstly, my accent's far stronger than Matthew's, so if you don't get me, just give me a wave and I'll try and rein it back in, because I can go really thick and broad sometimes with my accent. But we've been working all over the world, as you saw from the clip. What started in just Kenya with 42 children has now grown. We're looking after 200 kids in our home. The most beautiful, gorgeous babies, although I am extremely biased. I think they're the best kids in the world. And they all take after their mama. I may have the wrong color skin for them, but they take after their mama, and to see what God's done in their lives has been remarkable. We've seen, when we took them in initially, we received the children's social worker report, and reading words like torture coming up on their statements just blew us away. I mean, how do you even start to love these children back to life? Words that children shouldn't know the concept of, let alone have gone through it. Every form of abuse you can imagine. But now, fast forward 6 years on, these children are healed up from the inside out, and they're incredible. They know who they are in Christ. They come with me around the village preaching the gospel. I've seen 5- and 6-year-olds lay hand on the sick and see them recover. It's incredible. It's living the book of Acts with 5- and 6-year-olds, and that's incredible to watch. But since then, we've expanded into Sri Lanka, working with widows right in the northern part where the war was brutal. We've seen God do incredible things. We launched the Dignity Project. The numbers are slightly off, so we've actually reached over 7,000 girls with the Dignity Project now. But just helping girls that are at risk of human trafficking, going into primary school, elementary schools, I'm in America, elementary schools, and giving them reusable sanitary equipment and then training them all about human trafficking, the tactics that may be used to try and target them so that they can protect themselves against ever being trafficked. And to see the love of God break through in this very practical way has been incredible to watch.
It's just been amazing. And the Dignity Project is expanding all around the world. And we've actually had some necklaces made, which we can, you can grab. There she is. And you can get those afterwards. They're $20. And here's the cool thing. For $20, you're actually helping two girls go through that program. It's just $10 for one girl. And we're just incredible. You know, when I signed up for the Call of God, I never thought we would be developing sanitary products. But it's happened, and God seems to be using that to reach many lives across the world. Now, as a pastor, many people say to me, probably the number one kind of, not complaint, but query I get as a pastor is, hey, pastor, I don't know what I should be doing with my life. Anyone ever been there? And yeah, I see that. I see those hands. And you kind of get used to, you know, you serve in church, maybe you're part of the worship team or the children's team, or maybe you're on the hosting welcome team. And, you know, you kind of feel like you're doing a good job serving your local church, but you just feel like maybe there's more to do for the gospel. Anyone ever felt like that? Like, I just feel like I've got more to do. Well, hopefully we're going to share with you 4 points today. And in those 4 points, you're going to see the different stages God takes you on. And hopefully by the end, in the next few moments, at the end of this service, you're going to be able to say, you know what? I can do great things for God. So we're going to start. The first thing we want to talk about, and all these words begin with a letter P. So it's nice and easy for you to remember. The first word I want to talk about is preparation. How many know that you are always being prepared for something else in God? Whatever you're doing now, whatever season you might be in, I believe God is preparing you for the next season. You know, before I was a pastor, I was a journalist. And I used to work in sports journalism primarily, but I also worked in news journalism. And one of the things I used to do was work in football, which you call soccer. Now, I'm allowed to call it football, firstly, because we invented it, so we can call it whatever we want. Secondly, it's English, so we can certainly, I don't know if you knew that, but English came from England, and we can sort of decide what we say as well, because we invented the language. And thirdly, football is, it's a sport where you kick a ball with your foot, so that's kind of why we call it football, but if you want to call it soccer, that's okay, so I'll do that for your benefit. So I used to work in professional soccer. It was an incredible job. It was my dream job, and then I became a pastor, which is also my dream job, but before I did sports writing, I had to do news writing, and I was just 16 years old when I started this. It was unheard of to start that young. But my editor, one day we heard about someone who'd been killed in a tragic accident, and he said to me at the age of 16, he said, Matthew, I want you to go and knock on that man's wife's door and interview her about her husband's death, and she has no idea that you're going to be knocking on the door. I was so terrified. I went to that house and I honestly thought maybe someone's going to kill me, get angry with me. You know what? I mean, it seems such an invasion of privacy just to do that. And I was like, man. But I knocked on the door and I talked to this beautiful woman whose husband had just died, and she was crying. Her children were there and they were telling about how their dad had died and how the husband had died. And I just kind of, I felt like I did a good job at interviewing her with compassion. 10 years go by, 10 years, and I'm now a pastor. And I'm interviewing people in a slightly different context, but we had a lady in our church die, and I was with her family. I remember talking to the daughters and talking to the kind of brother-in-laws and the children and the grandchildren and comforting them. And suddenly I had a flashback and I realized that all those years before, working a secular job, working in a newspaper, God was preparing me. God was getting me ready for the next stage in my life. Maybe you're not doing right now what you really want to be doing. Maybe you kind of feel like you've got more to do and more to give. I want to encourage you, God is preparing you.
Yeah, I think for me, the preparation stage was my frustrating stage, where we're quite wired, we're go-getters, so tomorrow's too late, let's do it now, let's do it today. And when I was 18 years old, I went out on a short-term missions trip. Now, as a very little girl, I would often see adverts on the television that moved me. My mum would regularly tell me about times where I would be halfway through eating a chocolate bar and an advert would come on, some appeal in Ethiopia or somewhere, and this advert would come on the television. And as a little 3- and 4-year-old girl, I would put down my half-eaten chocolate bar and say, no, mummy, they can have it. I don't need it. And my mum would try and explain how they probably don't really want your half-eaten chocolate bar, but bless your heart. But, you know, even as a child, you know, God shapes you in your mother's womb. And as he's shaping and molding you, his DNA, his very fingerprint is upon your life, even when you don't always recognize that. And I believe God started on my heart as a very young girl of just shaping and molding. But I reached my teen years, those wonderful, beautiful years that are the teen years. We've got that to come with our little boy, but my heart goes out to every parent in the room right now. The teen years. And I decided, I loved God. I was serving God. I loved God very much. But I decided I wanted to go and study law. I wanted a nice big house and a nice car and a nice life and all that. And so I wanted to go and study law and just earn lots of money. Thank you very much. But when I was 18, I went on a short-term missions trip with my local church. And at this point, my heart wasn't really burning for missions. I thought it was a natural desire that I just wanted to go and see the world. I wanted to try different foods. I wanted to go and see different languages, different cultures. And so that's why I signed up for this missions trip. Well, you know, God has a great way of setting you up sometimes. And I was out in Romania and God spoke to me for the first time in my life. The Spirit of God spoke right to my heart and told me about running a children's home. So I came home like any teenager would and said, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to run a children's home. Told everybody, thinking it's going to happen tomorrow. You know, God said it, so it's obviously going to happen tomorrow, right? Except a year passed by, and then 2 years passed by, and then a decade passed by. And well-meaning friends would say, well, if you really believe God said it, well, just go book a flight to Timbuktu and just go do it. Just go build a home somewhere. But you see, the life of Abraham and Sarah was something that really pierced my heart. Abraham and Sarah received a promise from God. They knew it was God without a shadow of a doubt that he was promising a child to this elderly couple. But year after year passed by and nothing seemed to be happening. And so they thought, let me help you, God. And sometimes as humans, we have this incredible ability to mess things up as we try to help God out. And I was determined in my life, I wanted to wait for Isaac. I didn't want to create an Ishmael in my life. I wanted to wait for God's real intended plan. And that can be hard. But there's a scripture, it took 13 years in total from being given the promise to opening the children's home in Kenya. And in those 13 years, this scripture from Isaiah 49 and verse 2 really just carried me through. It says, he made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. And you know, as an archer goes out to shoot the arrows, he carries the quiver on his shoulders, and then at the right time, he pulls out that bow. He lines it up, ready to shoot the target. And sometimes it feels like, okay, we've finally been pulled out of the quiver. We're finally not in hiding anymore. We can see the intended plan God's got for us, and we're all lined up, ready to go. But just before the archer releases the bow, there's a pulling back process where the archer will pull the bow right up to his cheek so that it's right on target at the right time in the right place. And through the years of preparation, don't become frustrated at God, because he's molding you. He's shaping you so that you're ready, that you're sharper to pierce that target, that you're sharper to pierce the darkness than when you try and do it in your own way.
Isn't that incredible? Preparation. God is getting you ready for the next thing. Point number two, provision. How many know that when God gives you a dream, he's going to pay for it? How many know that when God gives you a vision, he's going to take care of it? You know, we have a saying in our organization. We say, God's will, God's bill. Whenever we set out to do something, we have no way possible of making it happen. I mean, sometimes we set up for projects and, you know, I like it when it's humanly impossible, because then I need God to make it happen, and I'm not doing it in my own strength, I'm doing it in his strength. Sometimes we take on projects and they are just outrageously impossible. I mean, if we put all our savings money, if we did an appeal in our church, we just would never get the amount of money we need to do a project. So we aim super big and super high, and we know that God is going to take care of us. I remember when we built our first children's home, it was about $200,000, and we had like $1,000 in our bank, $1,000, and we needed $200,000. And in Africa, you know, you don't get a mortgage, you don't go to a bank for a loan, you pay cash for everything. So you got to get the money up front in advance. And we were like thinking, man, how are we going to make this happen? You try and work out with your marketing brain, you try and work out with your logical, even your relational brain, and it's just impossible. And yet we give our dreams to God and he always provides.
Yeah. It starts with whatever you have in your hands. And so when we had our £1,000, that seemed so insignificant by comparison of this huge bill. I've been carrying a dream, I've been carrying a promise for years, but now this bill's in my hand and it looks ridiculous. It looks impossible for just a young couple from the north end of England to do. And as we held this bill, looking at this impossibility, I couldn't help but cast my mind to a scripture I'd been taught as a very little girl. We learn about the boy with the loaves and fishes, and it's a Sunday school story we love to tell about how when God multiplied the food to feed the 5,000. And for me, in that story, there's two heroes. Yes, of course, Jesus, who can do the miraculous, who can do the impossible. But actually, the other hero for me in that account is the little boy. You see, that little boy had gone prepared with his little packed lunch from his mother. He'd got 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. He'd got his fish sandwich, basically. And he arrived, and there's all these masses that don't have food and they're hungry. And one of the disciples takes this little boy's packed lunch and he says, well, we've got 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far can that go against so many? And sometimes we look at our lives and we see everything that we're not. We see everything, all our incapabilities, all our insecurities, all our imperfections, which abound for some of us, including me, definitely. And we see everything that we're not. But the key is, if we would just trust God enough to put all that we are and all that we have into the hands of the Master, he can do far more than we could ask or even imagine. That little boy handed over everything he'd got, not knowing whether he would go home hungry that day, but he gave it all over to the Master. And the beauty of Jesus is that not only did the 5,000 eat, the little boy went home with his belly full that day too. And that's the beauty. If we would just trust the Master with our lives and watch him not only bless others through it, but he blesses us too. We don't go without just because we said yes to his call.
Provision. God will always provide. The third point I want to talk about is protection. You know, many times people don't want to sign up for trips to places like Africa because they think, oh man, what's going to happen to me? And we live in a culture where there is so much fear around. You know, the media, I believe anyway, in my perception of American media, and I hope I don't offend anyone by saying this, but they are constantly trying to put fear into our lives. don't do this, don't do that. Man, it's bad politically. Man, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You know, my Bible tells me that perfect love casts out fear. When you walk in the will and the grace of God, you do not need to be afraid. This is how I fight my battles. God takes away, he's not given us a spirit of fear, he's given us a spirit of boldness and of power. So guess what? When you serve God, is it going to be easy? Is life going to be perfect with no problems? Oh no. Life still has its issues, still has its trials. If you're going for a trial today, I want to tell you that God is with you. Jesus said, I am with you always. I had my own trial almost 4 years ago now when I went to Africa. I came back to England for 2 days and then I flew to Alabama. I know how much you guys love Alabama around here. And I was just in Alabama for a few days and then suddenly I became sick. I started to sweat. I was shaking. I was shivering. And it was so bad that they said, man, you better go to hospital. So I got to the hospital. I walked in just about had the strength. And then I collapsed in the reception. And they put me on a bed in a wheelchair. And they started to say, you've not been to Africa recently, have you? I'm like, yeah, I was just there last week. They said, you have every symptom of Ebola. And we think strongly that you have Ebola. So they said, we're going to have to quarantine you and put you in a room for 3 days, and we're going to find out what disease you've got, but we think you've got Ebola. So life was pretty bad for me. To make matters worse, I was in Alabama. I mean, you want to get Ebola, probably not. There's probably a better place in the world to have Ebola than Alabama. So, I mean, it was all coming at me. They began to test me for every disease you could think of. They came back one day, they said, Matthew, you don't have Ebola, you have malaria. I said, thank you, Jesus. I was so happy because all the other diseases were like way worse. But actually, malaria kills more people than any disease on the planet. And I was so scared. They said, if 5% of malaria gets in your blood, you can die. And you are at 50%. Half of your bloodstream is filled with this parasite. Your brain is being damaged. Your lungs, your kidney, your heart is being damaged. They even said to you at one point that your husband is probably going to die within the next 2 or 3 hours. This was pretty serious. This was a trial. This was a test. Thank God for my wife. You know her by now. You know she's a woman of faith, a woman of God, a woman who believes in miracles. She's also a woman of Facebook. And in my darkest hour, when life was being drained out of me, my wife did what all good wives would do, and she checked her social media. And she wrote on Facebook, please pray for my husband. We need a miracle. And here is what God did. You know, how many know that when you take care of the poor, God will take care of you? How incredible that this church is part now of helping those affected by this hurricane. I'm telling you, there's nowhere I would want to invest my time and my money and my family in than a church that cares for reaching the poor. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 41 says this, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. Wow. God protects. God takes care. God heals. You can see God healed me. You can see how God took that malaria from 50% to zero with no medication. My body was allergic to the medication. My doctor looked at me afterwards and he said, I got him to write it down. He said, I have no medical explanation for Matthew's recovery. And he said to me privately, I believe God healed you. That's the only answer I can come up with. Yeah, come on, give God a hand. My lungs were healed, my heart was healed, my kidney, my liver, my brain. Well, we're kind of still working on that one. But God did a miracle.
It's great in every argument. I can just put it down to sweetheart. It's, you know, it's just the brain damage. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm obviously right. But, you know, I heard an incredible quote that said, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you.
Yeah, come on.
And if you just step out and let him take care of all the rest, he always does.
He really does. And he protects. And sometimes we live in fear. And sometimes, do you really think I wanted to go back to Africa after that incident? I was terrified. I mean, I was so scared. Every time a mosquito came near me, I was like, ah! And I saw one last night. I was freaking out a little bit. But, you know, I don't think they carry malaria around here. But, I mean, I was freaking out. But I learned this. This is so important. Your commitment has to be stronger than your emotions.
Yeah.
Your commitment has to be stronger than your emotions. Your emotions tell you to quit. Hey, quit that job. You had an argument with someone. Just quit. Oh, your husband's, he's doing my head in. Man, I'm just going to quit. Now listen. Oh, I don't want to go back on that mission field. Oh, I'm not going to go to that church. Someone offended me. They didn't shake my hand. Listen, your commitment has to be stronger than your emotions. That's point number three. Final point. This is so powerful. It is so powerful. We're going to talk about purpose. Because, you know, we told some pretty cool stories here today. You know, we talked about some great things that God's been doing in our lives and has done. And I mean, we could keep you here all day with great miracle stories. But what about you? What about you? You know, the reason we're here is for you, not for so we can tell some stories. We want to inspire you and encourage you that you can make a difference. And my wife is about to tell you the most incredible story I think I've ever heard. Because many times people say to us, hey, what's your vision? What's your dream? What do you believe in God for in 2019? And there's a temptation to be like, we want to reach another 10,000 girls, or we're going to go and do this. We're going to take the word. And then sometimes that can be a bit complicated. And sometimes you can look at people like us and people like Pastor Todd and think, I could never do that. But what she's about to tell you, anyone in this room can do.
So I was on a short-term missions trip to Sierra Leone in 2006. And I met a little girl that changed my life. We were there doing big gospel campaigns and feeding programs and all incredible, wonderful things. But on this certain day, I met this little street girl. Her name was Felicity and she was 9 years old. I noticed throughout the day that she wasn't wearing any shoes, so I took her to the marketplace and bought a little pink pair of flip-flops that cost me about 60 pence, so that's less than a dollar, maybe 80, 90 cents, something like that. And then I said, okay, honey, come tonight. We'll take you with us to the gospel campaign. You can hear all about this Jesus I've been telling you about. So that evening, we're stood outside the hotel and Felicity comes running up and she's got her new flip-flops on and she's all smiles and she said, Becky, should I wait in the hotel? I said, no, honey, we're literally getting ready to go right now. You can come with us in the cars. And she said, yes, but shouldn't I wait in your hotel room? If she'd have looked at Matthew and said those words, I would have known what she was asking. But here was a 9-year-old girl looking at another girl. So I thought she couldn't possibly mean what I think she's saying. I asked her a third time. And sure enough, little Felicity thought that I had spent 80 cents on her so that I could have her body. And she was willing to give it. And in that moment, I'd read all the stories about kids selling their bodies for a bottle of Coke. And I'd read these stories and my heart was moved. But nothing can prepare you for the moment where a little child looks you in the eye and thinks that you deserve their body because she spent 80 cents on her. And something in me that day I was so angry, not at Felicity, but at the fact that in my day, in my age, a little girl of 9 years old had gone through so much abuse from men and from women that she presumed I could have her body because I spent 80 cents. And I determined in my heart that day, enough's enough. enough is enough. I've got to do something. At this point, I was already carrying the promise of a children's home, but there was no children's home at this point. There was no nonprofit. There was no website. There was none of that stuff. It was just a heart after God and a heart for the poor. And looking Felicity in the eye that day, I made a vow to God that if it's only ever for one, if it's only ever one life that I get to make a difference in, then you know what? I'll give my life to that. I'll lay down my life for that because she's worth it. This little 9-year-old girl who's been so broken and so abused is worth it. And sometimes we see injustice in the world and we're crying out to God, of God, will you do something? And you know what? A lot of the time he's looking back at his church. He's looking back at me and you saying, will you do something? Even if it's only ever for one life, it's enough.
Wow. Purpose. What's your purpose? You might not be able to change the world, but I'm pretty sure you could change one person's world. Most of you are here today because someone brought you. Who are you going to bring? Who are you going to reach? Who are you going to build? It started with one girl. One by one. That's how we came up with our name. Because of one life. We just got back from Pakistan a few weeks ago. This is our latest project. We're building a children's home there. We're rescuing children who work in brick factories as slaves. Our pastor we're working with, he lives 1 mile away from where bin Laden was killed. This is pretty serious stuff. And we thought, man, does God really want us to go there? We're busy enough. We're doing Kenya, Sri Lanka, South Africa, Sierra Leone. We got stuff going on all over the world. And we began to meet these little children. And when you see a need, the responsibility becomes yours. You have to do something. Preparation, provision, protection, purpose. What is your purpose today? God has a plan for every person in this room. You need to sign up for a trip. You need to do something. You need to just say, God, what is it I could do to help reach my world for Christ? Why don't we bow our heads all around this place? Thank you, God, that your presence is here. Holy Spirit, you are here right now. We can just sense you so strongly. Thank you for all you're doing in our lives, and thank you for the incredible privilege of partnering with this incredible church. Just keep your eyes closed a minute, because we're going to be in that back. You can come and talk to us. You can grab some jewelry. You can get some information. But right now, this is not about that. It's about you. Because God's presence is here for a reason. Because I believe there's people in this room who just need to make sure that they're in a place where they can accept Christ into their life. 4 years ago, I almost lost my life. It changed me forever. It made me think about eternity. It made me think, was I ready to meet God? Maybe today there's sin in your life, and maybe you say, Matthew, I need to experience the forgiveness and the grace of God. Well, it's right here for you right now. And all you got to do is open up your heart and invite him in, and he is ready to welcome you home. If today you say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. No one's looking. We're not trying to embarrass you around here. But if that's you, just show me your hand real quickly. Who's there? One. Thank you. Two. Three. Come on. Who else is there? Come on. Don't be afraid today. Is anyone else in here? Just show me your hand real quickly and then put it straight back down. Thank you. Three, four. Thank you so much. We love you. We pray that God would touch you today, and we're so honored to have the privilege of speaking to you today. Thank you, Pastor Todd.
It's powerful, isn't it? You said when you see the need, the responsibility is yours. Some of you today, You've seen the needs, and now God's dealing with your reaction to what you know is your responsibility. My job as a pastor is not to make you comfortable. It's to get you to walk in your calling. Everybody here is called of God in some form or fashion. Not everybody's gonna stand on a platform and preach a message. Not everybody's gonna start a children's home in Kenya. Not everybody's gonna be a worship leader, play on the worship team, but everybody has a calling from God. And when you see a need and it pricks your heart and you realize that it's a God speaking to you, you have a responsibility. So maybe you're here today and God dealt with you and you realize he's calling to you. Listen, answer the call. In just a moment, we're gonna receive our offering and you guys can actually, the ushers can come to the front and y'all can start passing the buckets. But maybe you're here and you are the need. I need God. I need him in my life. And you already raised your hand. That's awesome. Let me encourage you to do something. Take a moment and take that connection card and it says on the back side of it, I have decided. Today, check that off and do me a favor. On the doors, by the doors on the way out, you can put that card in there. You can just walk by and drop it on the counter of the Connection Center right there in the middle of the foyer. But here's my heart for you, is that you connect to God and that you recognize that there is a responsibility. Maybe you're here and you go, I felt the weight of the call of God on my life. How many of you are here and you said, I felt the weight of the call of God on my life today? Is that anybody this morning? Come on, raise your hand. Like five people. Really, I'm surprised. It's a lot more than that, I bet. How many of you, this message impacted you and you know God's calling you to the one? Is that anyone? Yeah, lots. That's what I figured. Let me just say this. You never know what's on the other side of your yes to God. What if Becky would have said no in that moment when she was invited to go on a missions trip? What if Matt would have said no? I almost lost my life. There's no way I'm going back to Africa. Let me just tell you, you don't know what's on the other side of your yes, and yet we're so quick to say no. But when we say no, we don't know what we're saying no to, because if Matt and Becky had said no, there would literally be thousands that were not impacted. What has God called us to as a church? He's called us to reach people in our community and to reach people internationally throughout the world. And let me tell you, I don't think it's foolish. I don't think it's short-sighted to say that we can have an impact that transforms the world. I know that can be crazy. It's like, and today, 1,200 people at Church of the King have changed the entire future of the world. I realize how that sounds. But let me tell you this. When we, in a moment, say yes to God, we don't know. We don't know what's on the other side of that yes. Say yes to God. Listen, if you're here and God's dealt with you today, there's really just a couple things that I'd ask of you. Get that connection card, either in the boxes on the back or at the Connection Center. And here's why. Because when you connect to relationship, you connect to life, somebody who can encourage you in your walk. That's one. Here's the second thing. Our ministry team is up here at the end of every service. And my heart for you is for you, if God has put it on your heart and he's dealing with you, let somebody know what he's doing. All week long, our ministry team members are praying for this moment and they're praying for you. And God uses them. It was so cool to see at the end of even last service, a young girl that I'd met once before, but it'd been a long time. Truthfully, I didn't remember her. I said, I met you before. And God put, I always felt like there's a call on my life. And I'm from Brazil and my mom still lives in Brazil and I speak Portuguese. And I've always said, if only there was ever a missions trip to Brazil, like maybe I'd know God, the call on my life. Like maybe it's for real. I've just felt called to that, but nobody ever goes to Brazil for missions trips. And I reached over and I grabbed one of the cards at the missions table and I said, huh, well, let's see what mission trips we're taking for. Where's the first one going? Guess where it was? It was Brazil. God's got a call and a purpose. Connect to him, connect to people. Why don't we stand together? Ministry team, why don't you come up to the front? And If you need prayer, don't walk out of here. We exist to reach people with the truth that God knows them, loves them, has a plan for their life, and then to see their lives built on His word, His call, His plan. Did y'all have a good time this morning? It's awesome, wasn't it? Pastor Matt and Becky will be at the missions table. They'll be out there. If you want to purchase one of those necklaces, they're $20, and all of the proceeds go, like they said, it goes all to One by One, and it takes two girls through the Dignity Project. Well, Father, we thank You for this time today. Lord, I just pray just Your blessing on this congregation as they step out of their seats and into the purpose to which You've called them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. You're dismissed. God bless. Amen.